We now turn our attention to Tehillim Chaf Aleph, Tehillim 21. It begins the same exact way as the previous, Kapitel 20, Lam Natseach Mizmor LeDavid, instructions to the conductor, and again, Mizmor LeDavid. The doc suggests that just like the previous Kapitel, has the meaning of a psalm written to David, about David, on behalf of David, so too the same meaning carries forward here. Hirsch indeed feels that these two kapitlach are linked, that they're really one kapitel, one long chapter divided into two. Radak also suggests that this might be referring not to David, but to the Melech HaMoshiach. Let's follow the first approach, in which Mizmor LeDavid means that this was sung by the Meshorer, the anonymous singer, on behalf of David. I want to mention, as I've been all along, that Radak, in the uncensored version of Radak, continuously upbraids the Christian interpretation of some of these psalms, of some of these kapitlach tehillim. Here, too, the Christians with whom Radak had debates saw this coming kapitel chaf aleph as speaking not about David or the Mashiach as we understand him, but rather the Christian divinity. Now, Radak has a lengthy argument showing that this cannot be talking about a divine Moshiach, about a divine human being with godly quality, as Christians claim, because obviously the person spoken about here is very, very human and dependent upon God himself. In any case, I will not use this occasion to get into the details of Radak's argument, except that often as one studies Tanakh, one has to be aware, I think some would disagree, but I think one has to be aware of the manner in which the Christian religion interprets some passages in Tanakh very differently from the way we do, leading them to their theology and their beliefs. And our Gedolei HaRishonim, especially men like Ramban, Radak, and Ralbag, and others, constantly allude or directly challenge the Christian misinterpretations of these passages. But let's follow through with Radak and his major approach, which is that this again is a song sung by a Meshorer on behalf of David. And it begins, Hashem, be'ozecho yismach melech, God, in your strength, because of your strength, the king can rejoice. The king can be happy because Hashem, you help him with your might. Uvishuosecho yogel ma'od. And in your Yeshua, he is very, very joyous. Now, this is certainly not the first time, even in our barely 3 week, one of the exactly 3 week long study of Tehillim, that we have found these verbs, the verb of simcha, and the verb of gila juxtaposed. And often, the verb gila is first and then simcha. No gila v'nismecha b'shuasecha, or gil v'esmach. However, this is the second time, just in our study, that we found it the reverse. Simcha first and then gila. Remembering Rav Hirsch's point, gila refers to a loud, vociferous, dramatic type of joy, whereas simcha refers to a quieter, more sustained, long-term joy. And it would be interesting from that perspective to compare the first phrase of Pasuk Beis with the second, and to say that when it comes to Yismach Melech, to the king having a long, sustained, serene, long-term simcha, that depends upon the oz of God, always being God's constant power. Yeshua is not a constant situation. Yeshua, there's a Yeshua when there's something before the Yeshua that's not so good. Oz v'hada bimkomo, there's Oz there all the time. Yeshua is something which comes out of the negative. So when a person experiences Yeshua, he tends to be yogel ma'od. He rejoices very, very much in a dramatic, expressive way. However, when he experiences simcha, it's because of the sense of Oz, the sense of God as being a rock-bottom support for him in all kinds of situations, perhaps. Ta'avas libo nosata lo, God, you have given him his desires, the desires of his heart. Va'areshes sefosov bal monata sela. And God, you have not kept away from him the expression, the utterances of his lips. Here, Radak says an interesting thing. This word, areshes sefosov, which is very familiar to us, of course, from the davening on Rosh Hashanah, where we say, areshes sifosenu, the expressions of our lips. But this word, areshes, says Radak, ein lo chover b'mikra. This is the only time in all of Tanakh where you have this word. It is a rare word. It means the expression of one's lips. Notice the progression in Pasuk Gimel. God, you have granted him his heart's desires. This is something David keeps to himself. David doesn't express to others. He keeps it inward. And you've also gone further to Areshes Sefosol Balmonata Sela. You have not prevented or taken away or denied from him his expressed thoughts. In the words of Rav Hirsch, Ta'avas Libo denotes the vague yearnings and desires which David bore in his heart. Areshes Sefosov means is an expression of personal wishes that David has dared utter with his lips. So there are some things that we don't say. That's Ta'avas Libo. There are some things which we tentatively say. That's Areshes Sefosov. And God has granted David both of these. The pasuk continues, Ki sikadmenu birchos tov. God, you have beat him to the punch, so to speak. You have given him, before he even asked, blessings, great good blessings. Toshis l'rosho ateres poz. You have placed upon his head a golden crown. Here again, it is so instructive to turn to Rav Hirsch, who translates Ki sikadmenu birchos tov as follows. Indeed, you did anticipate God, him with, anticipate him, meaning before he asked for it, before he even thought of it, you already tikadmenu, you already anticipated with blessings of good fortune, the like of which he had never expected. Thou hast willed him to become king. David never expected to be king. He was humble. He wanted smaller things in life. But tikadmenu, you anticipated him. You came before him. You beat him to the punch with your birchos tov. And in a similar vein, chayim sha'al mimcho, all David asked of you was life. He asked of you what all people wish. In the words of Hirsch, the wish voiced by David did not exceed the goal set for any other individual. Pure human life. And God granted him this. Chayim sho'al mimcha. He wanted life. Nosatelo. You gave it to him, but you gave him much more. Orech yomim olam va'ed. You gave him eternity. You gave him a calling which reached far beyond his individual life into the distant future. Orech yomim olam va'ed. And the pasuk continues. Godol kavodo bishuasecha. Remember, the Mishorer is singing, and he is singing about David, and he is saying, David's honor is so great because, God, of your Yeshuos, your salvation. Hod v'hodor tishave olov. You placed upon him equally both hod, glory, and hodor, beauty. There must be 1,000 approaches to the difference between Hod and Hodor. But here again, I want to share with you Rav Hirsch's approach. Rav Hirsch feels that hod is related to the word od with an aleph, ud, which means a lever, an instrument, and is also related to the word od with an ayin, which means duration. Hodar is related to eder, cheder, eder, with an aleph, which means the surrounding. In a beautiful, beautiful phrase, Hirsch says, the personality is adequate for the calling it must fulfill, and the calling is suited to the personality chosen to fulfill it. So hod refers to the calling, and hodar to the personality. The calling is fit to David's personality, and David's personality is a good fit for the challenge, the calling, the vocation which he has in life. This is the meaning, the Kesher of Hirsch, of hod for hodar to shave olav. You endow him equally. They are shave. There's a reciprocal suitability, Hirsch's words, between the personality of David and his task on earth. And this assures us, says Rav Hirsch, that his malucha, his kingdom, will be durable and efficacious. It's a combination that is shove. It's a good match. David's job description and David's job qualifications, so to speak. Kisishisehu v'rachos la'ad. Because you have granted him blessings forever. Radak, you have granted him the ability to bless others forever, like Avram was given Veheye Berocha, or Vehis Baruchu Vezaracho, meaning people will use David as an instrument for blessing others forever. Techadehu Vesimcha Esponecho. You will cause him to rejoice with joy. Techadehu is related to the word Vayichad Yisro. Yisro was joyous, and related to the word Chedva, which means joy. That the David's joy will come about from, again, Esponecha, from the face of God, the fact that God faced him. In the words of Radak, God's facing man, God's light of God's face, is, quote, HaHatzlocha Shenosein La'odom B'chol Asher Yaseh. You want to know what it means? Let God's countenance shine upon you. It means your success. Personal success in life reflects God's face, reflects God's special grace. Ki HaMelech Boteach Badonoi U'V'Chesed Elyon Bal Yimot. The king, this king, the Meshorah singing, this King David, trusts in God, and by the virtue of God's great compassion, he will not be shaken. He will last. He will not be movable. Timso yodecho l'chol oyvecho. Here, Radak has an interesting interpretation of the word timso. He feels it means tastik l'cho. Timso yodecho l'chol oyvecho. May your hand be sufficient, be adequate, be enough to overcome your enemies. Yemincha timso sonecho. May your right hand be adequate to handle your enemies. Tishisemo kesanor esh le'es ponecho. Adonoi ba'apo yivale'em v'sochlem esh. May you, David, be powerful enough so that you can make them into a fiery oven, that you can consume them, that you can smash them with the assistance of God, and who in his wrath will swallow them and consume them with fire. Piryom, piryomo me eretz ta'aved, their fruits, their seed, their descendants, you will erase from the earth. Zarom ibnei Adam, their seed, their descendants will be removed from humanity. Ki notu olecho ro'o choshru mezimo bal yuchovu. Because they have stood up against you, they have planned evil against you, an evil which they are not capable of actually carrying out. Ki tishisemo shechem b'meisorecho techonein al b'neihem. Difficult pasuk. Radak says that this means that Pasuk Yud Gimel is an explanation of Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis said, Mizima bal yucholu. They can't execute, they can't carry out their plans. Why? Ki, because you will make them, God, you will make them a shechem. Shechem means, according to Radak, a chelek. You will make them one small object. Instead of being a host, a gamut, a myriad number of enemies, you will reduce them to one enemy, Shechem, to one chelek, and therefore, b'meisorecho, you will be able to shoot them with your bow without any difficulty. Rav Hirsch has an interesting interpretation here of the word Shechem. Very interesting, and again, one of Hirsch's unique contributions. Rav Hirsch writes that there is no other place in Tanakh that helps us find out the meaning of Shechem as it is used in this connection. Shechem Echod al Ponecho is obviously where Radak gets the interpretation Shechem means a chelek, a single portion. Rav Hirsch rejects that approach and says that the other uses of the word Shechem, which we find in Chumash and in the Nevi'im Uksuvim, don't help here. Therefore, writes Hirsch, we believe that in this case, the word Shechem refers to a place on the human anatomy, a spot, a point on the shoulder on which the bow rests while the marksman takes aim. So Shechem means like Mishichmo Ulamala, the shoulder, and in this case, the shoulder point, that is the goal of the bow and arrow. Hirsch translates Kisi Shisemo Shechem B'meisorecho Tichonei Alpeneim to mean, for thou shalt turn them into a shoulder point. Thou dost aim for their face with thy bowstrings. A very interesting and different translation of the pasuk. And the pasuk continues very similarly to the last pasuk of Kapitel Chaf. It too is a kind of a battle cry. Rumo Hashem Be'uzecha, God, show yourself on high in your invincibility, in your strength. Rumo Hashem, lift yourself up Be'uzecha with your power. Noshiram Unizamra Gevura Secha. May we be able to sing and proclaim songs in your power, in your omnipotence. Noshira Unizamra both seem to mean we can sing, we will be able to sing. Rav Hirsch helps us out here again and says that Shira is a song in the sense of a poem, whereas Zimra is a song in the sense of a melody. So that the conclusion of this psalm means that Hashem, it is not because of our power, although we've been victorious at war, but it rather is because of God's power that we sing, we express our thoughts in words, which are outpourings of our feelings and emotions, and unizamra, we sing melodies, tunes, to praise Gevura Secha, your glory. So here we have Kapitel Chaf Aleph, which again, the Mefarshim that I'm drawing from, Radak in medieval times, Rav Hirsch in the 19th century, both have something in common here. They see Chaf and Chaf Aleph as almost a twinned perek, both short, both with very, very similar structures and meanings and even wording, but each one carrying its own special nuance and its own special unique beauty. With this, we conclude Kapitel Chaf Aleph.